When you're using big data to adapt to climate change, sometimes you need to call in big tech. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Here on Marketplace Tech, we've been covering how technology helps us adapt to climate change in our series, How We Survive. To start with, you have to understand the problem and create smart solutions. That's the job of the Chesapeake Conservancy, a nonprofit organization that uses technology to recommend conservation techniques for the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes down to the resolution of the data.
Jeff Allenby is Director of Conservation Technology at the Chesapeake Conservancy. Now, one thing to know is that the Chesapeake Bay watershed is huge. It's 64,000 square miles, spanning six eastern U.S. states. And the organization mapped the whole area down to the meter.
The data set that we created for the Chesapeake at that 1 meter resolution was, and still is, one of the biggest high-resolution land cover data sets ever created in the world.
It took Allenby's team 18 months and more than $1 million to manually process that data, as in people having to identify things like the characteristics of a tree or label a house a house. Then they use the data to advise towns on what to prioritize, whether it's planting trees or restoring wetlands or buying land to conserve. And once word got out, lots of other nonprofits, like around the Great Lakes, wanted to do the same thing with map data. Most don't have the time or the money, but big tech companies do.
Budget simply can't be a barrier to people accessing technology.
Lucas Joppa leads Microsoft's AI for Earth program, which lends the company's computing power and machine learning capabilities to organizations trying to tackle climate solutions. The program worked with the Chesapeake Conservancy to scale up their approach to land mapping to a much bigger area and faster.
We wanted to do that for the entire United States, over 10 trillion pixels. And it can't take a year and a half to do it, because if it does, you're going to be out of date by the time you're done, right?
The company awards grants, lets organizations and scientists use its cloud computing resources, and loans out data scientists to various climate-related projects. Joppa says right now, AI for Earth isn't meant to be a moneymaker. But he says tech companies have a responsibility to be part of climate solutions beyond their own in-house efforts.
We've got to make sure that we have our own house in order, but then we do have to be proactive in going out and ensuring that our products are deployed in ways that empower people to amplify their sustainability impact.
And there's business value for Microsoft in being there first.
We're a platform company, and we would prefer to be the platform of choice for everybody building technology-inspired solutions to environmental challenges.
For Jeff Allenby at the Chesapeake Conservancy, the real value comes in being able to know what's working and what's not. So you know what to conserve and what to let go.
So from the adaptive side of it, it really allows you to understand the context of kind of any given action. And it allows you to understand the alternatives if that action can't go forward.
And Allenby says those decisions have to be made quickly because there isn't any time to waste. And now for some related links. You can see some of the super detailed maps that the Chesapeake Conservancy created and a little more detail about those projects at our website, marketplacetech.org. Thanks to Dan Ackerman from the Water Main Project at American Public Media for turning that into a super cool story. And we've got a link to more information about some of the grants that the Microsoft AI for Earth project has given out. Last month, it announced $500,000 for new grants that will actually be distributed by the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation. And we know that climate intelligence is the first place to start with a lot of these adaptation efforts, so there's a lot more news on that front all the time. Earlier this month, AT&T shared the data that it's been using to evaluate the risks to its facilities and make them more resilient to extreme weather. These data sets were developed by the Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory, and AT&T made them all available to the public. The company also started a climate resiliency community challenge so that universities can work with towns in southeastern states to develop solutions and risk analysis based on that data. And just last week, in an attempt to get everybody looking at the same peer-reviewed, trustworthy data, the World Meteorological Organization launched the WMO Catalog for Climate Data. There are 18 data sets in there so far, and the organization hopes more will be added soon. The WMO, by the way, I also just learned, is basically the in-house weather and climate agency of the United Nations. Another fun fact, last week the WMO elected Gerhard Adrian of Germany as its new president for a four-year term. And I mention this because he beat out our guy, Dr. Louis Uccinelli, who's currently the director of the U.S. National Weather Service. Sorry, Dr. Uccinelli. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Marketplace turns 30 this year, and to celebrate, we're going back to the 80s. Check out our totally radical new thank you gifts that you can choose from when you become a Marketplace investor. Your donation, large or small, will help us keep bringing you news and information you trust for years to come. Donate today at marketplace.org.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.